Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
A brief word of prayer. Eternal God, your Spirit inspired those who wrote the Bible and enlightens us to hear your word fresh each day. Help us to rely always on your promises in Scripture. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning is John chapter 2, verses 13 through 21. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Before I start on the sermon proper today, there is an interesting thing I would like to point out that unfortunately had no spot to fit in the message. And that is that it's interesting that when Jesus is asked about the temple, the Jewish people asking the question use one Greek word for temple, and Jesus uses a different one. So even there's some weird word, some wordplay happening. But today we're going to be talking about emotions, unsurprisingly, and I think that we can all admit that as a culture and as society, we have healthy ways of dealing with a lot of our emotions. We have societal places that certain emotions are okay to be expressed. Happiness can be expressed pretty much anytime with smiling or laughter. Sadness is, you know, shown by crying. And even if somebody cries in an inappropriate time for crying, most people kind of understand that something has deeply upset the person. But anger is a difficult emotion for us to handle. There's not as many societally okay ways to express anger. I guess maybe if you believe in catharsis, there's the break rooms where you can go to smash stuff. But other than that, society doesn't really know of a good way to deal with anger. Oftentimes it's viewed as just a purely negative emotion. I remember when I was working at CP as a chaplain in New York, the thing I have to do, I've said this before, the thing you have to do to become a pastor in PCUSA, you have to do a chaplain for a bit. I had a patient who was frustrated. A lot of the stuff had been removed from their fridge, probably because it was expired, but they didn't know that. And they had thrown their table in anger. No one had been in the room. No one had been hurt. The table maybe got scuffed at most. But my question when I brought that story back to the rest of the cohort was, what ways do we have for our patients to deal with anger when they're stuck in this place? Anger is a valid emotion. It is something that we feel, even though I do not think it's always useful. I think a good practice for us to have as Christians, and honestly just as general people, is the ability to occasionally take a step back from what we're feeling and to examine that emotion, to try and understand why we are feeling it and what it is causing us to do. This self-examination is really handy when you are feeling like you're being rushed or you're making decisions that don't make much sense, and you're realizing that you're letting things, your emotions, drive things that maybe they shouldn't have been driving in the first place. Interior self-examination is a practice that I think we all should cultivate. And it's good for us to look at the reason for an emotion and decide whether or not we think it's a useful emotion in this space or one that's causing us to not have as good a time or is causing us harm. In this temple today, Jesus gives us an example of, I think, a time that God, at least, advocates for anger to be expressed. Even though, if you went into a random place today and started tossing tables, you'd probably be arrested. Jesus shows us that anger is best used in service of the poor and the oppressed and the outcast. Jesus' anger, although he does point to it being his Father's house, is not necessarily in service of himself, but rather in the service of others who have been dealt an unfair hand. As I mentioned earlier, the money changers in the temple were often known to cheat people, often the poor people. They had to have money changers at the temple because you could not pay your temple tithes with Roman currency. That currency had the image of Caesar on it and therefore was an icon. Instead, you would have to exchange your money for money that was usable in the temple, meaning that people that didn't have enough money to have a stash of Jewish cash back at home as they went to do their worship would have to exchange a little bit of their money, the only bits that they had, in order to pay the temple, leading them to be open to be scammed out of a little bit of their money. We also see that people are selling cattle and other sacrifices. And then, of course, the doves, which are mentioned, notably in the Old Testament, also an offering that is designated for those who have less money because they're cheaper. The reason Jesus doesn't chase the doves out is because the doves are kept in cages. It's actually interesting that that detail is kept in there. And so he has to tell the people to just take them out of there. But Jesus' anger here isn't for himself, and I think that that's the main way that our anger causes us to harm. This week, I spent about 3 or 4 different phone calls with my medical supply company, having to argue with them that, no, my insurance hasn't changed. You're charging me about 3 times as much as you should. Why haven't you sent my order yet? And each time, I got more and more frustrated and more angry, but that anger did no one any good. I reminded the person on the other side of the line that I know it's not their fault. They don't have control over the situation. They just are a worker there. I know that my anger is not going to help me. I'm just going to end the phone call and not feel good. And the higher-ups aren't going to hear my frustration. That anger was just in service of myself. And even though, yes, I do think it was a little unfair, it didn't do anyone any good and just was a negative emotion causing my day to be worse. The anger that's in service of protecting people around you or in helping the people that are on the down and out is the anger that I think God is most advocating here. And God advocates for it in a way that is a little bit more radical than I think most of us would expect. Jesus' actions here are hardly a peaceful protest of what's happening. This is an active getting in the way of commerce. This is disruptive. This is potentially damaging to some people's businesses. And I think that this shows that what we might be called to do as Christians can sometimes go outside the bounds of what we would expect. But I think there's another thing for us to learn from this story that kind of takes it out of its context here and expands it and also kind of places it more better in context in the other Gospels where it's shared. If you didn't know, in John, this story is very early, as you heard, chapter 2. But in the other Gospels, it's placed near the end. And I think that it's interesting that I wonder, were the tables back the next day? I would be willing to bet, as long as it wasn't Sabbath, those tables returned the very next day. Business resumed as usual. Maybe some people commented about, did you see that one dude who came in here with the whip and drove everyone out? That was wild. Anyway, how's your wife doing? Like, it was back to business as normal. And I know that for a lot of us, that's disheartening. We use up this emotion that we've been given. We take action, and then things oftentimes return back to the way they would. But what if this affected long-term change instead? What if we take a bigger picture of this and wonder, how did this action affect the disciples' thinking as they continued the religion of Christianity as it was handed off to them after Jesus rose back to heaven? This action, of course, was happening in the Gentile courts. So that is the space of the Jewish temple that was allocated for non-Jewish people to be able to go and worship God. It was taken up by people that were just doing business, and Jesus empties it, hopefully welcoming people in to worship. And we know that the disciples, as they create their faith, yes, there was a debate, but the end of the discussion was, yes, Gentiles are allowed amongst us. Gentiles can be a part of this group of chosen people. We also know that the disciples had a deep care for the poor, which Jesus is also expressing here in turning over the money changers' tables. We see this show up in the epistles where the disciples talk about don't treat the rich better than the poor. Everyone should be even at the table. I think what we are seeing here is that Jesus' actions, both this and the rest of his life, even though they may not have affected change that he saw before he rose again to heaven, did indeed have a long-lasting impact, an impact we know is still happening because we're here this morning. And I think for us, that is where our hope has to rely too. Our actions that we take, honestly, whether they are in service of anger at injustice or in service of what we think is right, may not affect an immediate change. We may not see the reversal of fortunes or things turn better immediately. But I think that we have to have hope that our actions will cause the world to be better eventually. We may not get to see that day. We may pass on before that day comes. But as Christians, I think we are called to have a long view, a long hope that things eventually will get better, and faith in a God that we know has promised us that they will get better. So friends, as we go back out into the world, let's remember to use our anger that is in service of the poor and the oppressed and the outcast. And let's remember to have faith in things that we may not see come to pass. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.